Welcome back. You're listening to Agriculture Today. Kansas State University was fortunate here the last couple of days to host an individual who is very well versed in the area of international agriculture development. He was speaking as part of the Global Food Systems Initiative seminar series, and he is with the U.S. Agency for International Development's Board for International Food and Agriculture Development. He's also a Chancellor Emeritus of the University of Missouri. Dr. Brady Deaton, his name, and we're glad to have him mic side today. Brady, thank you for joining us, first of all.
Eric, thank you very much. A pleasure to be here with you.
Explain, if you would, your role with this board. Again, by name, International Food and Agriculture Development, USAID, the mission and purpose there.
Right, and the board's usually referred to as BIFAD, Board on International Food and Agricultural Development, as you indicated. I'm chair of the board. It was appointed in 2011 and then was reappointed a year later. And it's a seven-person board. Congress was very concerned about ensuring that our land-grant universities were providing input strongly into our foreign assistance program, where we're trying to really help improve the food capacity and food security worldwide, particularly in the low-income countries. Mm-hmm. So the board has as a mission ensuring that scientific knowledge, technology transfer, and the ability to educate people so they can then feed themselves into the future is very much part and parcel of what we're doing with USAID's mission. There are seven members of the board, four of whom have to represent higher education. And the board is appointed by the President of the United States, as determined in the legislation.
And the purpose of the board, in part, is to identify needs around the world and then help land-grant universities connect to those needs?
That's correct. And particularly, it's to bring the expertise of the land-grant university in an advisory role. We play an advisory role to the administration of USAID. So our goal is to not only bring the professional expertise that we have individually as we're appointed, but to work together to pull then the best research and technical knowledge out of our universities through convenings that we hold, through publications, through giving opportunities to air these latest scientific advancements and to ensure that they're really at the foundation of what our agency is doing internationally.
Therefore, you were invited to come to K-State to address the future international challenges and opportunities for land-grant colleges of agriculture, speaking right to the initiative that the board has undertaken here. As you view those challenges, and as we talk frequently about feeding the world in the next 30 years or so, an ever-expanding population, what do you see as the primary challenges?
Well, certainly feeding 9 billion people, which is the projected minimum population probably by 2050, it could be anywhere from 9 to 11, will require at least a 60% increase in food production and appropriate distribution of that around the world. So the board has tried to identify the latest technology to promote food security globally that we can obtain from the laboratories and the good scientific work that's occurring in our land-grant universities. So we created a system of innovation labs, and Kansas State has been one of the leaders in the nation in developing four different innovation labs that have been funded by USAID. Mm-hmm. And it reflects the great strength here at Kansas State. And I must say I've been very impressed with my visit here and commend the leadership and the science, the faculty, the students here at Kansas State, because it's really quite striking and impressive. But Kansas State has competed. These are all competitions among the best universities in the nation. And Kansas State now is the home for the Sorghum and Millet Innovation Lab, the Sustainable Intensification Lab, the Applied Wheat Genomics Lab, and the Reduction of Post-Harvest Loss Lab. And these are areas where Kansas State, I've known of the work here for 30, 40 years in my own background as an agricultural economist, and I've always admired it. So coming here, seeing the dedication of the faculty, the strong history, and the ability to effectively administer a range of programs like this, working with other universities around the United States and in other countries of the world, Kansas State has developed a very effective approach to this that our nation and the world is now benefiting from.
And again, these centers concentrate energies in those specific areas, very highly targeted and for specific areas of the world, right?
That's right, exactly. Each of them draws on the absolute best talent here at Kansas State, certainly in the history of really good research and education. But then they are targeted, as you say, to some of the poorest countries of the world, heavily in Africa, some in Central America, and some in South Asia, India, and other parts of the world, to try to ensure that we have the ability not just to generate knowledge, but to take it out to the people and ensure that it's applied and used in those countries where the need is the greatest. And that's very consistent with the history of our land-grant universities. And we've got to generate knowledge. We've got to see that it's used. We've got to modify our approach to generating it based on what we see in the field. And then we have to work with partners through the outreach to the citizens, to the cooperatives, to the governments of those countries, and very importantly, to the private sector. We have to have much more private sector involvement as we look into the future. And I know when I talk to the faculty here about looking to the future, those partnerships were points that I emphasized a great deal. And I hope that our government will continue to be in a position to provide that seed capital so that we can stimulate much greater involvement of private sector entities in these targeted countries around the world. If you look at the whole flow of capital between developing and less developing countries of the world, foreign assistance only makes up about 9% of the total. So the bulk of money that's flowing and can make a difference in new enterprise development and job creation and in spreading the technologies that we're dedicated to generating here requires private sector actors to make the investments, create the enterprise, and scale up, as we say a lot, scale up that innovation so that it's affecting more of the farmers in those countries. And we have particularly by far over the last few years in U.S. government policy has been to try to ensure that smallholders and those that are most needy in those countries are the principal beneficiaries of what we are doing. But I would emphasize the productive aspects of USAID policy and what the land grants are trying to do. We're there to ensure that those countries gain a capacity to take even bigger steps into the future. And of course, we know that as we do that, and the data shows us so clearly, the United States benefits in multiple ways from every dollar we invest in productive foreign assistance efforts. Mm-hmm. Because we're creating new markets, we're creating people who are healthier, we're diminishing the potential for conflict and the potential for human suffering, and advancing our ability to all of us become more well off together.
In regard to impact, has USAID and your board been able to gauge the returns to investment in tangible terms from the Feed the Future initiative?
We have. We have had steady decline in the most impoverished people in the world for now over two decades, upwards of three decades. And that's now down to below a billion people, which is quite an accomplishment. It used to be almost double that or more than double that in years gone by. And so for the first time in history, we have a declining proportion of the global population that is truly suffering on a daily basis. And that's a tremendous achievement.
So the momentum is in the right direction.
The momentum is in the right direction, and it's been hard won because we've had a lot of it over the last 50 years since World War II when these programs began in earnest after following World War II and the Marshall Plan. The United States set out to really try to perform worldwide in the way that we had effectively rebuilt Europe and Japan. And while we've had good years and bad years, the overall trend has definitely been a significant improvement in the global conditions of people, and that's resulted in tremendous expansion in the United States of agricultural production and international trade. And these are critical components for our country and for the well-being of the world.
And it's a success story that is yet to be fully told because there are plenty of challenges left.
That's right. That's very well said, Eric. We have a long way to go because there's still, when you think of upwards of a billion people that are still in quite desperate need in the world, that's still a severe challenge to us. And right now the United States, of course, provides a relatively little, well below 1% of our gross national product goes into foreign aid. A lot of people have a misunderstanding about that, thinking that, oh, it must be 5%, 10%. Of course, that's not the case at all. But we could stand as a nation, in my view, and I'm biased here, I feel we should be doing more in these areas. And it would accrue to the benefit of our own economy, the training of our students, so that we have a better understanding of the many cultures and conditions in the world that make us the great nation that we are.
Brady, we appreciate you being here on the Kansas State campus and for taking time out of your visit here to enlighten us on the mission of your board of USAID and on the part of, well, U.S. agriculture and the country as a whole here. Very important work.
Eric, thank you. Kansas State should feel very proud because you have a range of programs and facilities here that have just not only benefited Kansas, but definitely the United States and the world.
Once again, thanks for being here.
Thanks. Appreciate. Good to be here.
He is the chairman of the Board for International Food and Agricultural Development with the U.S. Agency for International Development, Dr. Brady Deaton. He was on the K-State campus this week presenting another seminar in the Global Food Systems Initiative series, talking about the future international challenges and opportunities for land-grant colleges of agriculture. You're listening to Agriculture Today, and we'll be back in a moment on the K-State Radio Network.